one typically. It's in my purse.
Do I give it to you or?
Putting this in the pocket.
I guess I did have a job though. You guys can come to the actual thing. May 6th. It's $35. And it's a whole dome. Dress up like you. Austin has a show. Talking about light bulbs, like these things have to go special to get that for payment for an hour. They're supposed to go with. There's the other kind. There's some kinds they take back and then people.
Did you look up the cost of the thing?
I looked on the internet, so just confirm that with me, but I just wanted to give them a estimate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Get started. Like to call this meeting of the. Like to call the meeting of the Bartlett Public Library District to order. It is now 7 p.m. Roll call.
Boyer?
Here.
Zayas?
Here.
Barry?
Here.
Lucaro here. Olson?
Here.
Annie?
Here.
Hopkins?
Here. Pledge of Allegiance. Is there any town hall?
No.
Okay. The consent agenda, are there any items that anyone wishes to exclude from the consent agenda? Trustee Olson?
I'd like to move to remove items 1A and 1B, or A and B from the consent agenda.
Okay.
Any?
On 1C, please.
Okay. Any others? I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda minus items 1A, 1B, and 1C.
I'll make a motion.
And I'll second that.
Trustee Buccaro, Trustee Barry. Is there any discussion? Roll call.
Boyer?
Yes.
Zayas?
Yes.
Barry?
Yes.
Buccaro, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Haney?
Yes.
Hopkins?
Yes. Okay. Item 1A.
On item 1A, the approval of the March 21st, 2022 regular board minutes.
That's item 1C.
Okay. 1A is January 29th, 2022 special board meeting minutes. I have two things. The header currently in our packet reads regular board meeting. In an earlier draft, it was special. I'm going to assume that because it was not one of the regular monthly meetings, that it should be designated as a special board meeting. So I would like to make the change to title it special board meeting. And then under the roll call should reflect that Trustee Baccaro was absent from that meeting. And those are the two items that I have for A.
Are there any other changes to 1A?
I mean, for doing the details, it was on a Saturday, not a Monday.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other changes to 1A? I'll entertain a motion to approve 1A as amended.
So moved.
Thank you, Trustee Barry. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Trustee Davey. Is there any discussion? Okay, roll call.
Boyer?
Yes.
Zayas?
Yes.
Barry?
Yes.
Baccaro abstain. Olson?
Yes.
Daney?
Yes.
Hopkins?
Yes. Okay, item 1B.
Item B, I'd like to move that the March 21st, 2022 board minute meeting.
You're saying 1B, it's the February meeting?
February.
Okay, I will withdraw my request for item B to be changed. I mislabeled mine, so I guess Trustee Baccaro and I probably had the same item.
We'll see, right?
Does anyone have any changes to item 1B? So I need a motion to approve 1B as stated. Thank you, Trustee Sias. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Trustee Daney. Any further discussion on 1B? Okay, roll call.
Boyer?
Yes.
Sias?
Yes.
Barry?
Yes.
Baccaro abstain. Olson?
Yes.
Daney?
Yes.
Hopkins?
Yes. Okay, Trustee Baccaro, I will let you go first on 1C.
Okay. On March 21st, there was information about Trustee Daney becoming part of the foundation. And I believe the time change for the meeting should be noted, that we're going to be changing the meeting time to 5 p.m. from 4:30, and that was not noted.
What page?
I didn't get to the page.
Is that actually official, though, yet, my question?
It is not official. They have to vote on it at the May 23rd meeting.
Okay. So the meeting does not change until May?
Until after May. It'll be at 4:30 on May 23rd.
Now, I don't know if we want it noted that was supposed to be.
I think that they were going to propose it after.
I'm still looking for it, I apologize. What page?
I'm looking for it.
Trustee Barry stated he has served as liaison between the board and the foundation for the past 7 to 8 years, and he feels it's time for him to step down and allow another board member to take his spot. Trustee Barry moved to recommend Trustee Daney to serve as the board's liaison to the foundation starting after the next meeting. The last foundation meeting was canceled. So they did not take any action to change the time yet, so that's going to be proposed at the May 23rd meeting.
But we may want to make a note that there was going to be a proposal to change the time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Is that all your changes?
That's it.
Okay, mm-hmm. Trustee Olson.
I had two other items for
amendment. Okay. Go ahead, we can.
Okay. On page 2 of the minutes, the sixth paragraph, the first line, I'd like to change it to read, Trustee Olson visited several area public libraries, period. Huntley Public Library, that was to replace that entire line. And then on page 2, paragraph 7, line 5, I'd like to change what's noted as El Paso Library, El Paso to Elburn.
Is Elkhorn, is Elkhorn changed to Elburn, not El Paso?
Not El Paso, Elburn.
Elburn, okay.
Yes.
And will you change, will you send me what you want changed for that first statement?
Yeah, I've got it.
Thank you.
Print out of me.
Okay.
So.
That's it. Those were the only two?
That's two changes I'd like to.
Is there any other changes to item 1C? I'll entertain a motion to approve item 1C as amended.
I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Trustee McFarro. Is there a second? Trustee Daney? Okay, any further discussion? Okay, roll call.
Boyer?
Yes.
Dias?
Abstain.
Barry?
Abstain.
Lucaro, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Daney?
Yes.
Hopkins?
Yes. Correspondence?
None.
Reports, questions, and answers. Anybody have anything? Trustee Olson?
I have a number of comments that I'd like to make. Relatedly, I'd like to recognize Mary Ann Kingsmill for her 25 years of service.
Oh gosh, no.
Is she even 25 years old?
Is she even 25?
She's been 25 years old.
I don't think we have anyone doing 25 years this year.
Okay.
We have two staff members that are celebrating anniversaries. The first one is Kim Viagra in circulation. She's 15 years. And then myself, who is celebrating 10 years.
Okay, this was from notes and payments made in the accounts payable a couple of months ago. So it must have been wrong. Second point I'd like to make, and I apologize for not having correct information on that first point. At the last board meeting, we did not discuss this, but prior to the board meeting, I had asked Director Nance for a breakdown by age group of cardholders. Which we all got prior to that meeting. I'd like to make a point though that in looking at that information, I was disappointed to see that only 4 of the 7 trustees actually have a library card according to the data in our system.
Trustee Olson, I believe Mary and I looked into that. There were 2 that were mislabeled, so they actually do have their cards. We just had not properly labeled them. That has been since corrected, and the other trustee renewed their card. So we're up to speed with all 7 of them now.
So at that time, we did not have one with an active card.
We had one that had expired.
That's what I'm saying, an active card. Okay. Regardless of the number, I'm disappointed that it's not important enough to the trustees that they maintain current cards. You know, when you're asked to make judgments on behalf of the library, one would hope that they're based on personal information as well as the information that is presented at these board meetings. The third point I'd like to make is that at the February board meeting, and I was guilty of this as well, we approved minutes for the January board meeting that none of us had received. Nobody brought that up as a item that should have been removed from the minutes. And we all voted to approve minutes that none of us had seen. And I'm guilty of that too. And I think we all need to pay attention to what we're given in our board packets to make sure that doesn't happen in the future. I voted yes because I came to the conclusion that I probably was the only person that for some reason hadn't opened an email that contained that information. I also would like to make the comment that, you know, many of the things that I say may be subject to criticism. However, I base my comments on facts, and I take the time to research things. I have heard too often, I'm a volunteer, I don't have time. When each of us ran for office, we assumed a public responsibility to act in the best interest as board members and to be informed. That's it.
Does anyone else have anything? We will move on to our action items, which the first one is the accessible parking spaces and striping.
Thank you. So I had some concerns after the last board meeting, and I reached out to Elizabeth, and we met with Rick and had some really great discussion, and then Harlan came out and did some measurements, and I think that we've come to a new good compromise on the new proposed parking spot. So I'm going to turn it over to Harlan and Rick. And thank you for coming back again.
Sure.
I really appreciate it.
Sure. I thought it was going to be late. 59 was closed for some kind of police thing, and I was lucky I didn't get a ticket on the way here. So, let me hand out a little drawing here. And I just did it with a little bit of color there so you can kind of quickly see what was going on. And I think this reflects what you talked about with.
Oh, we might not have to go outside. It's cold.
All right. So if you look at the drawing, and I'm sorry I didn't have a big one with me today. I didn't know Elizabeth was sick today, so it kind of took me by surprise there. But if you'll notice, we managed to get, at remeasuring and thinking about things a little bit differently, three ADA spots right in front of the door there. Okay, you see it blue there. And around the corner there, which was, you know, we discussed back and forth and such, the one remaining that's required back around the corner there, and putting in, you'll see it says bike rack, and then there's a blank spot, and then the other ADA one. And because the slopes and everything over in there work well, it's less expensive and it just works, it works better for you. So this was the one that we're proposing here. The reason you can see three in front of the door now, where we didn't have three before, is that the law had changed. Originally, you were not allowed to share the striped space between the between them, and now you can. And we remeasured, we realized we could just fit three of them in there, so which is good. And so that's what we're showing there. So this is what was discussed before, I think, and we all feel it is. Works well.
And if you could describe the ramp that.
In the center there? Well, you'll see where it says ramp there. that provides a way for people with, obviously within the ADA spots, to get up to the sidewalk. And for just to make up for whatever and the extra time involved, Harlan has offered to foot the bill for that ramp there. So
that came up at the last meeting where people were not going around and using the center ramp. And it was a good idea. We looked into it, and it's feasible. So you can have a small ramp there. That'll really consolidate your handicap into this little corner and, you know, accomplish that and get all three spots there and just one right outside the window. So it won't be all the way by the, you know, it'll be as far down towards the bike rack as possible, so it's not right outside the door.
And just so I know the board's original wish was to have it, if you see where the red dotted line is there, to have it there. The reason we're not showing it there, and I can't remember how much of this we went into before, is that the slope on that space is too steep as it is, okay? And the only way to rectify that, to make it to meet the ADA code, would be to flatten out the slope in that space near at the side facing the library there. Doing that, the curb that's exposed, which is now 6 inches, would get bigger and a lot wider and wider and wider as that, or deeper and deeper and deeper as that pitched down. All of a sudden we would have one curb that was a lot deeper than every other curb, and it's just kind of a, and people would not be expecting that. It would be a trip hazard if we did that. And, you know, the sidewalk elevations and everything else is locked in. We can't, at least within the realm of the project, change that. So that's why we did not recommend putting it up there. There was just too, you'd have then, we would have a bigger curb, and even though it might not be required by code, we would say if we do that, we really thought we'd have to have a handrail there so people didn't step off thinking it was a 6-inch curb and then find out the hard way that it was. Yeah. So anyway, that's why that one space is still around the corner there. Just it made, that's the way it worked. So anyway, I think it satisfies most of what we've been looking at here in discussion there. And Harlan, what have I forgotten here? I'm sure a lot. But
no, I think that is a good recap. And we are just meeting with the contractor tomorrow to go over this, get a schedule from him, and just to also look at what he did last year. There's some deficiencies he needs to correct, that he's aware of them, and also to look at the front catch basins in the middle to get those raised up, because there's some steep grades there that were, you know, he, towards the end of the year, needs to correct those. So there are some action items that we're gonna meet with him tomorrow on to go over as well.
Yeah, and so that's important to remember. So there's a number of conditions there that out in the lot that will be punch list items. But they haven't done the punch list yet since we're waiting for the second half of the paving to be done there. So people had pointed out some stuff like some paint crumbling paving around a catch basin or something like that. And that's all the kind of things that we do during the punch list. And they don't get their final payment until all that is done. But that hasn't been formally reviewed yet because we're waiting for the paving to be complete. But that's the next step.
And then we're going to set the time frame when they're going to start, yeah, and how long the estimate it'll be for the turnover time.
Correct. Okay. So
there's no additional cost to the library for this, is this correct?
Correct.
Trustee Nielsen?
Oh, sorry.
I apparently missed it. Is there a reason for a single parking place next to the bike rack as opposed to the ADA space being there?
Yeah, it would not.
The slope doesn't meet the criteria. We have to move one over. Because right by the corner, there's a catch basin there, so the pavement starts sloping off, so we're exceeding the allowable slope.
Yeah. And it was just not one that you could work out without significantly redoing the lot, which was not what we were talking about there.
Well, that gives the van additional space, too, if they need it.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's kind of works out, I think.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So we would need a motion to approve this plan for the ADA requirements.
So moved.
Thank you, Trustee Barry. Is there a second? Trustee Olson? All right, is there any further discussion? All right, roll call.
Boyer?
Yes.
Zayas?
Yes.
Barry?
Yes.
Lucaro? Yes. Olson?
Yes.
Daney?
Yes.
Hopkins?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, everybody.
Thank you, guys.
Have fun battling 59.
Go a different way.
Learn that lesson.
Take care.
All right, we'll be reporting back as we get the work and punch list and all that other stuff that needs to be done yet. So you'll be hearing from us on all that.
Great, thank you.
Right?
Thank you.
Make sure you guys sign in before you leave, okay?
Oh, and one other thing to throw in there, too, is just remember, too, there's a warranty. And the warranty from the contractor doesn't even start until we accept the completed project. So it has not even started yet. When we're done, we do the punch list. If there's anything that we see defective that he corrects, we can extend the warranty to. So you do have it. When he's gone, he still has to honor the warranty.
Thank you. Budget draft one.
Budget draft one, I sent out, well first I want to thank Trustee Olson. He met with Dina and I and we went over at great length and he had some really good discussion about various points. But the draft that you have in front of you is just the very basic draft number one. And I gave very detailed notes on the revenue and the planned expenditures. But please note that this can change two more times over the next couple months if anything comes to light or we decide to change anything. So I'd like to just open it up for questions if anybody has any questions.
First, the numbers are switched on the middle two columns. It's like the lines here.
Oh, good catch. Thank you. I tried to make it all DuPage and then Cook, and I must have missed those.
Yeah, it was
two.
The opposite then. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'll switch those.
Right. Thank you.
Trustee Olson.
I have a couple of points, and I do appreciate the fact that I had the opportunity to sit down with Director Nance and Dina to discuss the initial draft, and I believe there were several minor tweaks made to it. I still think that it's important before we get to the second finalization, the second vote on the budget, that the board have an opportunity to walk through the building, learn the specifics of what the recommendations are as far as the capital improvements, and have an opportunity to eyeball those themselves and see if there's other things that might be of concern to the board members. I think the fact that we're proposing to bring back in-house the housekeeping staff that we've contracted with this last year is the right move to be making. I am concerned about the amount that we're budgeting for the state grant, or the per capita grant. We don't know what our district census is. And the likelihood is that we're going to be ultimately reimbursed based on what our 2020 census actually is. Leads me to conclude that we probably should be conservative with this number because the number is fully budgeted for databases and downloadables, I believe, and there seems to be some indication. I know the village had a drop in population. While we're only a portion of the village, I'm not so sure that between 2010 and 2020 that the population within the village may not have shifted west outside the district, that you may have more than 1,000 fewer residents in our district than we had in the last census. I'd like to see that be a more conservative number. Because when we go to complete our IPLAR reports, that data is going to be the data that will ultimately drive the numbers that we get from the state for per capita. I'm also concerned that the budget as it is constituted currently is putting all of our materials and programming costs into budget lines. I'd like to suggest that we seriously consider a lump sum number. I don't know what that number should be. That would be available for allocation based on what we learn in terms of our community's needs, where our community wants us to be directing the things that they're looking for from our facilities. And until we get to the point where we have a person on board who has the marketing acumen to be able to help guide us in that direction, I'd rather have a sum that is unallocated specifically for whether it be DVDs or fiction or adult versus teen versus youth materials. And those are the three concerns that I have about where we are in the process right now. We're basically rolling forward the same numbers, you know.
It's the first draft.
When you do the same thing year after year and expect different results, I think you're fooling yourself. And so I'd rather see funds reserved for those decisions to be made internally once the data is available to the library staff to help guide those changes.
What data are you referring to? Are you asking us to implement another survey? I'm just curious.
One of the things that unfortunately is not documented anywhere is during the special board meeting on January 29th, there were a lot of ideas that were thrown out, different ways to approach things.
I have that raw data, and we'll be reviewing it when we are working on the goals.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
You know, there were a number of different ways suggested that we might get that information.
Madam Chair, at this time, I will bring a motion to approve draft number one of the budget, knowing that based on new information that we may have or understanding that we may have in the future, that I would like this motion to be, I'm making a motion to approve draft number one.
Okay. I'll second it. Thank you, Trustee Barry, Trustee Bufaro. Further discussion? Roll call. Lawyer?
Yes.
Sias?
Yes.
Barry?
Yes.
Lucaro? Yes. Olson?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes.
Hopkins?
Yes.
Thank you. The social distancing requirement.
So I'm happy to say that we've had a lot of waiting lists for our programs, specifically Story Times and a couple of the other youth ones. And we've had some patrons recommend that we eliminate the social distancing requirements so that more patrons can attend the programs. We talked about it as management team, and we feel that it's their own personal choice if they want to come to the library, and that if they wanted to, they could socially distance if they could. If that isn't available, they could leave, but at least we're giving an opportunity for more people to attend the programs. Staff would still be required to social distance because we're not volunteering to be here. We have to be here, so we should maintain our safe distance. So that's our recommendation and our request from our patrons, and I'm looking to eliminate that for the programming.
Make it optional?
Make it optional. Well, you can't really make it optional because if you...
Or recommend it, I'm sorry.
When you can, but if you have, you know, 50 people in story time, it's really difficult.
Okay. How will that be displayed to our patrons? Will be signage or just on the website?
I think we... Dina, what do you think?
Well, right now we utilize tables to mark the distance, so it would be a matter of we would be able to set up the rooms with less distance, so it's kind of deciding.
Just no markings, basically.
No, but how would they know ahead of time?
I would put a sign under masks optional, social distancing no longer required.
Okay.
We would just update that sign.
Do you have something, Justin?
I don't understand the discrimination against the employees on social distancing. If they wish to social distance, I would think that would be their option as opposed to mandating, which is, we're mandating one thing for our employees and not, and making it a, I won't say free for all, but we're allowing those who come as patrons and guests in our building to no longer have to, well, to no longer suggest that social distancing is necessary.
I'll refer to Dina to answer that.
Well, I mean, as far as staff, I don't want to say they have to come here, but when you have a job here, you have to come here, and so we want to make sure that we have...
Can you speak up, Dina?
We want to make sure that we have safety protocols in place for COVID. And this is what we kind of talked about when we brought back the toys for youth services is, you know, they had, it was a little different because they said that there was a low transmission risk based on physically touching things, but it's, you know, it's kind of an implied risk when you're coming to a library and you're being, you know, like, using an example of my church, you know, like, they still have the online service and then they have where you can come and you can sit with you, so it's giving that option, and I think we're trying to do that with our programming is having that virtual option as well as, but I would not eliminate social distancing for staff yet.
And right now we currently have all of the stations the a proper amount away.
We're so used to it, yeah, everything is all, you know, pre-organized to be as such, so I mean, it's really no change for us. It's just a matter of whether you're okay with more members of the public coming in one room. They would be voluntarily coming, we talked about different ways of doing it. We shorten the distance, and you know, yeah. So it's really every day's thing. I don't know the perfect answer for the public. I see where it would be nice to have more of them here, but then I also recognize that COVID is still present. So I don't know what the perfect answer.
There is no perfect answer for
something. You're just kind of trying to use your discretion.
But I think throughout all of this, we've operated under the school and the state guidelines, right? And those have been removed. So I think it's appropriate for us to still follow that as far as the public goes. Like, that's what they're expecting. They're, you know, everyone that has looked at the school or looked at the state, they're now seeing, you know, it's basically been removed. You know, you use your common sense and you maintain your distance as you need to, but it's not a rule anymore.
Yes.
To move the social distancing requirement.
Be eliminated or no longer required, okay.
Thank you, Trustee Boyer. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Trustee Zayas. Is there further discussion on this? Okay, roll call.
Boyer?
Yes.
Zayas?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Lucaro, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Daney?
Yes.
Hopkins?
Yes. Okay. Policy prohibiting harassment, discrimination, and retaliation.
Yes, we just had one sentence change, change to this. I believe that it was hold on a minute, sorry. Last year, the Human Rights Act was amended to include work authorization status as a protected characteristic. So we have revised our policy to reflect this change. And then as soon as the board approves this, we will get the information out about the training that we're all required to complete.
Is there a motion to approve this?
I make a motion.
Thank you, Trustee Bucaro. Is there a second? Trustee Barry?
Trustee Daney, sorry.
Okay. Is there any discussion on this? Okay, roll call.
Boyer?
Yes.
Zayas?
Yes.
Barry?
Yes.
Lucaro, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Daney?
Yes.
Hopkins?
Yes. Okay, discussion items. Ceiling tiles?
So I've got an email from Trustee Daney who attended a program that didn't really fit her likes, and so she had a lot of time to look around the room, and she found out that she didn't really like the condition of the ceiling tiles. So
normally when I'm sitting that way, I'm just looking out at all of your lovely faces. Well, Ray and I were, the people were talented. It just wasn't our forte. It wasn't what we thought, and you know, it was more like, well, never mind. But so that wanting to pay attention, I'm sitting back and I'm looking now, look, at the ceiling.
It kind of goes like
that. It was horrendous.
Yeah.
It's horrendous. It's awful. And I understand now when people were doing those surveys and they said, the library seems so old or weathered, and it was like, oh my Lord. So I talked to a couple of staff and they're like, God, yes, if we could, well, I didn't say God. Yes, if we could just make the changes. And they even had ideas of how they could take panels and you know, like, paint them different colors and just make it more vibrant and happy. And boy, anything would be better. This is just awful. And I apologize for not noticing it sooner. But when you're sitting and looking one way and you're engaged, you don't pay attention to this. And
yeah, and Larry and I were talking because wasn't the circ room done the same time as this meeting room? Because those are holding up so much better and they're a different type and style. So Larry is getting quotes on replacing all of these and then some others throughout the building. And we budgeted for that in the next fiscal year. But in the meantime, maybe we could talk to marketing and see about, you know, I don't know, doing a design or something, or?
Yeah, just, you know, just even colors, you know, like library blue and yellow and green, you know, just.
I don't know if that would be too much.
To make it a little vibrant, fun.
Think of a rainbow ceiling, Peggy.
I was just saying that.
I think that would be
a little bit too much.
Yeah,
too
maybe.
Much. Maybe too
I
much.
Like,
not
like
everything, but just, you know.
Oh, okay. You know, these are rectangle tiles too. You could print posters of books and put them up there.
Ooh,
that's cute.
Ooh.
I like that.
Cover them up.
Lisa could do that.
Yeah.
But we could get better tiles that are just longer sheets and stuff.
Yeah. Well, we're looking into that, but I'll talk to Lisa in the meantime and see what we can come up with.
Well, just like these. You know,
yeah.
You have those types.
Yeah.
Okay.
Classic
you,
books or something.
Thank you.
Or the summer reading books.
Yeah.
50th anniversary update.
So I have the most amazing committee that we're working with. It's Trustee Daney and Trustee Bucaro and our old assistant director, Mary Bovito. And we met on Saturday. They approved their first meeting's minutes, so I'll have those in the board report next month. But I'd like to turn it over to the two trustees who are serving on the committee to do a report.
Well, it's really an exciting time for the library, and tossed around a bunch of different ideas. Lisa's very creative, which really helps a lot, so she's had a lot of things out there too. So we're tying it in with patron Appreciation Week. Figured that'd be a great chance for people coming in and they can, you know, have two different activities. So there's gonna be basically something every day, whether it's a giveaway or an activity or something, just to draw them in, meet the staff, and then see what we have to offer. So there's gonna be a lot going on, a lot of details out there. We're checking on some things. And we're hoping that we can have food there, that there won't be any issues. We're gonna think positively that there won't be any issues with the pandemic or anything. And reaching out to different restaurants in the area to see if they would assist us with the food. And,
so we're gonna have a big party on
big
the
party
Saturday.
On the Saturday.
Yeah.
Yes,
and then I wanted to just mention that the theme was, we kept it just very simple and straightforward, celebrating 50 years. We're gonna have the village do a proclamation for us on November 1st. And we're hoping that the Lions Club would allow us to be the grand marshals for the library or for the parade, but you know, I don't know.
I sent an email out about that.
So we'll see. And then there's gonna be a lot of staff are involved, so it's kind of exciting. So Roseanne came up with the idea to do a time capsule. And then we're gonna have it like on display, like, you know, like in a glass display case. And then we're gonna do like various trivia games throughout about all the decades. All of the librarians are gonna be programming different decade programs. Lisa's gonna do a timeline display. And then adult and youth are gonna both be asked to create some kind of scavenger hunt with a golden ticket. So it's really exciting. We're also going to do a program with a whole bunch of paneled speakers to talk about the history of the library, and we've already got a couple of people from the community to be involved. So, anything else I'm forgetting?
It's just that, well, Mary DeVito came up with some pictures, these big books of pictures and newspaper articles. It's a real treasure trove of information going way, way, way back. So, Lisa's going to see what she can do with some of those too, because they may not reprint as well. So she's got work to do on that, but it was interesting to see the different articles in the history.
Yeah.
Marianne, I'm gonna get together with you. I wanna get the friends involved in a couple of ideas that we had leading up to this as well.
And we're gonna invite Pam from the museum to come to our next meeting.
Yes, and one of the artists from Arts in Bartlett that did their note cards that if she can get us to get online with it. Mary had ones that were framed out, and I still can't find mine. I probably mailed them out to people because I love them. It was like a watercolor front of different, mine, because it was Arts in Bartlett, it was different pictures of different locations in Bartlett. But for us, for the library, we want to pick either a particular, like an old picture of the library or indoors or something. Then if we have the note cards, we would ask if the friends would be interested in selling them. But anyway, that artist is going to be at our next meeting as well. Mm-hmm. So.
Trustee Olson?
I missed, what's the date that we're proposing?
It's the week before Thanksgiving when we have Appreciation Week.
It's Sunday, November
19th, I think.
Through Saturday.
Oh, Saturday is the 19th.
So it's Sunday, the
11th, or the anniversary is really like the December 28th or something like that. Well, that's definitely not the time to have the party. That's why you bump it up away from the holidays.
So the week before, right?
Mm-hmm.
The
Sunday
before
Thanksgiving
is the 20th. So November 20th.
And the 19th is the party, right? Is the Saturday is the party or the Sunday?
It's the Sunday before to the Saturday, the 20th or 19th.
The 13th.
The 13th
through
the
19th.
Let me see.
Yes, the
13th
through the
19th.
And the
19th
is the party.
It's the 13th through the 19th.
Yeah.
And then we're also going to invite all of the local and state officials to celebrate. And maybe have them say a few words.
Thank you. Summer reading update?
So we've been actively planning for the summer reading program. Our theme is, help me, Kim. Off the beaten
off
path.
The beaten path.
Read beyond the, what is it?
The beaten path.
Read beyond the beaten path. So we've got the logs done. We're looking at prizes. We are hosting a summer reading kickoff party on June 4th. So we're going to have a bouncy house. We have a juggler. We have a bat program. We're going to have food there. We're going to have a lot of different activities and raffle prizes. So that's going to be the big kickoff. And then for the parade, we've rented a trailer because the float costs went up like 3 times. Usually we paid like $800 and now they're like $3,600 or whatever. So we're going to rent a trailer and Doug is going to attach it to his Jeep and drive the Jeep with the trailer. And then we're going to decorate it as a camping theme. So we've got canoes or a raft and a tent. And then we're going to also promote the 50th celebration with flyers and have a banner. So we'll have 2 banners for that. So we're getting excited for summer reading. It's always a fun time in that summer.
Trustee Training 4222 recap.
I was unable to attend. I don't know. Trustee Boyer attended and Olson.
Yeah, I can go first if that's okay with you. I have 3 main things that I got from the training. Was ELA does something where they have a board evaluation of not so much of each other, but how we're working cohesively. I thought that was interesting and something to poke at. So if that's okay with everyone, I'd like to reach out to ELA and see what's going on with that. The other thing is that they have their a trustee manual on a thumb drive, which is really interesting to think about. And then the last piece that I was like, oh, is that each department, quote, each department should have a succession plan. So I thought that was pretty interesting on how does that look if the youth services department manager leaves or anybody leaves, what does that look like? So that was my main takeaways, except there was a quote that I really liked from the presenter, which was, you don't know what you don't know. And I'm like, dang, is that not the truth?
Couple things that I'd like to suggest that I came away from it with. The fact that an evaluation is something that is comprehensive but needs to be reported on an ongoing basis as far as how one is progressing against those goals, and monthly updates in terms of meeting or where they are on timeline for things that have been set as objectives, not just for the library, but also on an individual basis. And incorporating those things into the monthly reports that come back to the board from not only the director and her report, but the individual departments in their reports in terms of how they're functioning against the goals that have been set. Because ultimately the progress of the library is determined by the actions and the direction provided by the leadership. The board has a role to set, but then that's passed on to the director. And the director then orchestrates internally the fulfillment of the organization's goals and hers through the actions of her team. And to not wait until the end of a period to find out that progress hasn't been made and corrective action hasn't been taken to reevaluate whether those are appropriate goals
obstacles that have been run into that need to be addressed from the standpoint of whether these make sense based on new information that may have come forth. The self-evaluation of boards is also very important, and not only from the standpoint of how they work together, but whether there are in fact holes in the knowledge of the board in terms of areas that could be better incorporated, better represented, you know, whether it be through over the years looking to recruit potential candidates for office that might fill some of those identified knowledge spots that are not as well-rounded as we would hope. So I thought it was a good presentation.
Thank you, guys. Okay, so the next is the informational section from the director's report. If anybody has any questions on any of those items, speak up now. I will entertain a motion to go into executive session as permitted by 5 ILCSA Section 2C1, the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the public body or legal counsel for the public body. To make the motion?
So moved.
Thank you, Trustee Berry. Thank you, Trustee Bukara. Is there any further discussion on that? Okay. Roll call.
Lawyer?
Yes.
Zayas?
Yes.
Berry?
Yes.
Bukara, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Amy?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Turn those off.
Nope.
And then I'll turn this one on, or you can.
Yeah.